We're back. This Week in Waukesha with your host, Alderman Don Brown. And you're listening to Todd Rundgren and Utopia with One World, one of my favorites from the 80s. And speaking of One World, our guest, Pascual Rodriguez, executive principal of La Casa de Esperanza, talking about his vision, our vision for One World, an all-inclusive one, and all the great things they're doing at La Casa de Esperanza. But before we begin, Jason during the break asked if he could call an audible. He has a question for Pascual regarding our previous discussions. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, thanks, Don. I mean, I thought something really impactful and interesting about what Pascual had said was talking about the roles of teachers and the influence that our teachers can have, and especially when you don't have that example or you don't have that situation at home. I mean, having great teachers that can help guide is invaluable, and I think that's another thing that people have to remember to value our teachers because of that. So I just wanted to reiterate that point.
Well, thank you, Jason. I concur with you 100%. Often, and as Melissa's listening to this, one of my speeches always over the 20 years has been, teachers are not just teachers. They're mothers, they're fathers, they're guidance counselors, they're social workers, they're psychologists. So they have many roles they have to play, because the fact of the matter is, from Monday through Friday, they're with their kids longer than parents are with their kids throughout the week. And so it's important for them to really hone in not only on the academics but the social and emotional component of the child. You can't teach the brain unless you reach the heart, and that's we believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly, and so teachers play an extremely important role in there. So thank you for acknowledging that. I appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks, Jason. Yeah, and I just just to wrap up a previous conversation we had about youth sports and what I call kind of the privatization of our national pastime. It kills me that baseball has become such a country club sport. And I believe that in the two of our four kids that played baseball, I could probably count on one or two hands. And this includes teammates and kids they played against that were children of color. And the one thing I loved about baseball was that when I was growing up is that the two best kids on every team, one kid was like the surgeon's kid or the CEO's kid that he could pitch, he could hit, he could do it all. And then the other kid who was just as great, maybe greater, was the factory worker's kid who could pitch and hit and do all the things. And, and those two were usually soulmates on the field. And while they may not have hung out in the classroom or, they didn't live in the same neighborhoods, when we got together for Little League, those two were, it was a band of brothers. And that to me is what made baseball great. Baseball was a big part of my youth. And it kills me that, when I was a kid, $25 got you a uniform, and the coach came with a bag of bats and balls and other equipment, and you were just responsible for your cleats and your glove. And there's still money left over to give you a ticket for a freeze pop or a soda after the game. And now it's like $25 might not even pay for your socks. And you got to pay for all that yourself. So, we were a Blazer family, and that's one thing the Blazers prided themselves on, was that the fees to be in the club to play was like $450. And that's a drop in the bucket compared to what some of these other clubs charge, but that's still $450 for a working family, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of coin for your kid to be able to play baseball.
That's correct. Yes.
So, I'd love to, like I said, excited to hear that there's going to be some sports development at La Casa. And I was joking around earlier, but half serious, but it'd be great if La Casa, if we came up with our own baseball club.
Well, hopefully that's in the future as we establish ourselves a little bit more in our after school programming. So it's in my blood. So we'll see.
Yeah. So, well, and that was, again, as you mentioned, you grew up in a dysfunctional family, and you're not alone. Several, thousands of Americans, and I guess all families are dysfunctional now. But compared to the person that you have come, that how you reinvented yourself after some heartaches and some setbacks. Baseball was a positive influence for you in your youth development. And yes, there was a heartbreak of coming very close to making the pros, but then leveraging that pain, that frustration to become an accomplished educator. I even forgot what my question was. No, but the idea is like, what can, a charter school like La Casa, what can some of these other community organizations do to promote those other inspirations, whether it's sports, arts and music, even technology has become a big hobby for a lot of kids.
Sure.
What, what can we do to help a lot of these kids, especially in this, as we're hopefully inching out of this COVID era, and a lot of kids who are subject to that virtual education, which was not very successful. A lot of school, you know, a lot of schools weren't, you know, people weren't trained on virtual teaching or training. How can these extracurricular activities help build our kids, their confidence back up, and their willingness to learn and their passions?
Well, Don, great question. I've always, as a child, as a student, math was always my strongest subject. You know, all the other ones, I survived. Let me just put it that way. But where I really excelled was in the area of sports. And so when I went to gym, that was where I felt I can contribute as a community of my classroom, where I felt that I was someone. And unfortunately, with the way budgets are, with the cuts that are being made, when you're eliminating art, when you're eliminating woodshop, or you're reducing FIED, you're really taking out some of the skill sets that these kids excel in, and they feel that they are part of, they can contribute to their community of their classrooms. By putting a hammer in their hand, this is, some kids learn with their hands. Some learn, obviously, with their eyes and so forth. And obviously, there's a varying degree of ways kids learn. But to remove those opportunities from these kids, sports or arts or music, I will, you know, instruments that a child can pick up and play it and so beautifully that, you know, you wonder, where is this coming from? They may not shine in the English classroom, but you put a trumpet in their hands and they're Doc Severson, right? And so that's the importance of having these extracurricular activities that happen not only during the school, but after school. Yeah. As to your point about, you know, baseball or football or basketball or soccer, which is very popular nowadays, making it affordable for these kids. And that's where we rely on the community businesses to help us in that aspect, is to look and see where they can take some of their dollars and really put it to good use to help these kids and become active in these extracurricular activities, because you never know who you're going to get out of this. And obviously many kids go home and their parents are working, so it allows for an extended school day where parents know that their kids have a safe place where they're at doing things that are productive, whether it be in the athletic program or cultural arts, or in our case, drumming, and the kids, mm-hmm. the way the kids, that program that they excel in. Yeah. And if you haven't heard them, drumming,
yeah.
You should, because they're excellent at it. So again, is you take these extracurricular things out of these kids' hands, then you minimize their opportunity to shine in the classroom. Just like the kid who excels in math or English and science, they're always going to excel there.
Sure.
But allowing other kids to use their talents in different parts of the school, whether it be during school, after school, I think it's important for their success.
That's great. Thank you. And real quick, just want to throw this in. I ran into our good friend Amanda Medina Roddy, and she says, well, she's excited you're on the show. And she wanted me to remind everybody, or let everybody know, that the 68th annual Waukesha Rotary Pancake Festival will be Saturday, April 2nd from 8 to 11 a.m. at Waukesha South High School. This year, they're excited to provide breakfast with the Easter Bunny. Kids will receive an Easter treat. There will be face painting, and the Easter Bunny will be available for photos. All proceeds go back into our local community to support other nonprofits. And maybe we can throw La Casa into that.
There you go.
That's that one. Hey, and then also that same day, Saturday, April 2nd, Waukesha South's Booster Club is having its Raising the Bar fundraiser at the Loft on Blue Mound across from the airport. And that's a lot of fun with silent auction. They will have TVs on so you can enjoy the Final Four. And great food, great drink, and just a great event to promote support for Waukesha South Athletics. And and like I said, that's what I loved about your book, was how, you know, baseball was like kind of that positive, that driving influence for you.
Yes.
that kept you on center. And you know, I guess we're going to go to a break soon too, but would you say, you know, were there other influences as you were growing up that also kind of kept you out of trouble? It seemed to me when I was reading that a lot of those decisions you made on your own,
yes,
whether or not to do drugs, and you chose not to, whether or not to be in gangs, you chose not to be in gangs.
Correct.
And I just see that as a lot of like individual fortitude and rugged individualism, if you don't mind me being patronizing. But with so many other young men and women in that teenage and tween age group that are growing up too quickly, yes. You know, what advice would you have for them, or what were some of the other influences besides baseball? Or was baseball that thing that kind of saved you?
Well, the irony of it all is baseball was life, but I never played it. I didn't play baseball organized till I was 19 years old, Don. It was the first time I ever played organized baseball.
Wow.
Never had the opportunity as a youngster. Never played Little League baseball or anything like that. I was just not given the opportunity. And so when we talk about role models and things of that nature, my older sister, who was, I think, one of the first who graduated from college, was one of those. I had a couple cousins who, you know, Eusebio Rodriguez, 15 years older than me, but he really influenced me in the gym and nice. Introduced me to weightlifting at the age of 14, and I still do that to this day. And he kind of served as a little bit of a mentor for me during that time frame. And then obviously when I was 17, 18, I met my wife, Caroline, and that was a changing point in our lives, in my life. She was a churchgoer, so
nice.
Played a significant role in my life.
Well, hold that. We want to learn more about Caroline. We're going to go to a quick break and then stick around for the last segment of the show here with This Week in Waukesha with Alderman Don Brown. Don't go away. Whoa, it's our world. Yeah, yeah, one world. Whoa, it's our world.